48. Tananarive was tired when the incessant images and thoughts finally started to taper away. The ice mines had much to convey in their cool, gliding manner, but it was all so big and strange, she could not really think what to say. Mostly she just digested, which was exhausting in itself. But one thing did puzzle her, and she asked about it.
"Why was your jet open to attack? I mean, it and the star and the bowl. It's an unstable system. It has to be adjusted all the time or it falls apart. Anybody wants to do you harm, the jet is an open target, the heart of the system."
Some confusion and delay. Soft pictures floated into her mind. The jet's filmy, twisting strands working out from the star. Sometimes it snarled a bit, but the plasma clots called the diaphanous adjusted that. They made the jet smooth out and glide tight and sure through the knothole. All was well, nominally.
"What's the idea of letting it be so vulnerable? I mean, we just came alongside you and slipped in, rode up the jet. We could have damaged it then, even by accident. But other kinds, other aliens, they might want to bring you down."
"Some did."
"What was your strategy then?"
She was tired, but what she learned could be useful. Red Wing would want to know every damn detail.
"Imagine a simple army's task under imminent attack. They must find the part of their landscape best suited to strengthen their position when fighting an open battle. The answer is to fight on the edge of a sharp cliff. This gives the soldiers just two choices, to fight or retreat, and in retreating to go over the cliff and die. Their enemy has different options, to fight or flee. That option to flee makes the enemy's attack less likely to preserve. Placing yourself in peril makes you appear fearless. It gives your opponent cause to consider breaking off the battle." She found this strange.
"So you put your backs to the wall and that's a defense?"
"We prefer to dissuade. We regret that the folk, or rather one of them, used our final defense. Our lambda gun is immensely powerful. Luckily, it was ineptly used. We have stopped its use, and will punish those who erred so grievously."
Tananarive said nothing.
She felt a rising, apprehensive note strike through her mind, and realized it was coming from the ice mines. They said,
"The diaphanous now speak to those who caused this deep error. You should hear as well."
A somber, rolling voice came then, not so much spoken as unfurled.
"Who is this that wrecks our province without knowledge? Do you know the sliding laws of blithe fluids? Were you here when the great curve of the bowl shaped true? Can you raise your voice to the clouds of stars? Do fields unseen report to you? Can your bodies shape the fires of thrusting suns? Have you ever given orders to the passing stars or shown the dawn its place? Can you seize the bowl by the edges to shake the wicked out of it? Have you journeyed to the springs of fusion or walked into the recesses of the brittle night? Have you entered the storehouses of the ice mines and found there tales of your long past? Can you father events in times beyond all seeing? Your answer to all these cannot justify your brute hands upon machines of black wonder, nor shall you ever chance to be so able again, for you shall be no more. The space and time you sought to dissolve shall reckon without you hence."
Tananarive knew somehow this came from the invisible ones who dwelled in the jet. She did not understand any of this. She just sighed and put such troubles away as she gratefully slipped into sleep.